this has to be a wake-up call, because organized crime is growing, it's evolving, it's becoming more dangerous.
This is not business as usual. The game has changed on our internal security in a number of ways. We need the whole of society to be aware.
What we see is that the EU is becoming clearly a target from different state actors, and that they are using criminals and criminals are using them.
Welcome to the Europol podcast, the official podcast of the EU Agency for Law Enforcement Cooperation. In this new season of the Europol podcast, we will reveal the latest trends in serious and organized crime. We will introduce you to the DNA of serious and organized crime, and together we will find out how and why crime is evolving, how Europol is adapting to stay ahead of criminals, and what that means for you. Today's episode, the changing DNA of crime. It's Olivia here, and I'm joined today by Europol's Executive Director, Catherine de Bolle, the head of the EU's Law Enforcement Agency, to find out what she has to say about serious and organized crime in the EU today, and what we can tell about the future. Europol says that the very DNA of organized crime has changed. What do you mean by that?
So organized crime is undergoing a fundamental transformation, and that's why we say the DNA of organized crime is changing. First, crime is becoming more destabilizing because it corrodes the economy, the political setting, the social structures. Organized crime generates illicit money that fuels violence and extends corruption. It's not about just making money. We see that there is a growing collaboration with other groups, actors that are orchestrating hybrid threats, that are using and abusing geopolitical tensions, and that are trying to undermine our institution. And that is really a big issue for us.
Right. Could you tell us more about this DNA?
This is destabilizing. The effect is that organized crime and hybrid threats together, in fact, lowering down the trust that US citizens might have in the society, insecurity is a big issue today. The N means that crime is increasingly nurtured online. The internet is not just a tool for the criminals, but it is their theater for operations. The digital environment is where criminal activities take place. The internet has become an enabler, a countermeasure, and a target for organized crime. And then the A, in fact, crime is accelerated by AI and by emerging technologies. The transformation of organized crime extends to its tactics.
Europol has looked at the blueprint of the criminal landscape and analyzed it. What are the key threats?
The key threats for Europol are cybercrime, online fraud, child exploitation, migrant smuggling, drug trafficking, firearms trafficking, and waste crime. When we look at cybercrime, that is evolving into the digital arms race, we can call that. They target governments, businesses, and individuals. And what we see is that AI-driven attacks are becoming more precise and really devastating. And some attacks show a combination of motives of profits and destabilization. So they are increasingly state-aligned, and they are aligned with ideologies. And that is why it's becoming so difficult to tackle them. Then when we talk about online frauds, there we can see that this is really reaching epidemic levels. It's also powered by data leaks. It's also powered by social engineering and artificial intelligence. Child exploitation has taken a very dark turn. The accessibility of AI tools have really transformed child exploitation, because we now have to deal with synthetic AI material that multiplies the volume of abuse of material online. And this is creating additional challenges in the analysis of the images for victims and offenders identification. Migrant smuggling has become more sophisticated because also traffickers are adapting quickly and leveraging online platforms for the recruitment, for financial transactions, and for advertising. And we also see that behind this, also in the field of migrant smuggling, we also see the instrumentalization by hybrid actors in this area. Then drug trafficking, of course, continues to be one of the most serious threats to the EU society. And it has really the capacity to destabilize the EU through violence, through corruption, through infiltration. And we also see that in the area of drug trafficking, we have a real issue with young people that are recruited by the criminal groups to commit attacks, to commit violence. And that is really an issue we have to reflect upon, how will we tackle this in the future. Then, of course, firearms trafficking is a key enabler of organized crime. We have also the impact of the war in the neighborhood of the European Union. So we will be confronted after the war with more weapons. Waste crime is a silent but a devastating issue. These are the key threats because they are expanding and they are growing at a faster pace.
So those are the biggest threats in different crime areas. And we know that organized crime is not decreasing, it's increasing. Why is this such a growing threat to our societies and economies?
Indeed, organized crime is not decreasing, it is increasing. They move through digital highways, they infiltrate our economies and our institutions. They adapt faster than ever before. And this is not just a challenge for law enforcement, it's in fact a challenge for the whole of the society. And that is why we say this report has to be a wake-up call, because organized crime is growing, it's evolving, it's becoming more dangerous, and that means that our response towards organized crime groups and how do we treat organized crime from a law enforcement perspective, we have to be just as dynamic and we have to engage with the whole of the society.
We can see that crime has adapted to and exploited technological and geopolitical shifts. What are some of the biggest concerns we should be aware of?
And then the very worrying trend is the youngsters that are being exploited by organized crime, recruited by organized crime, and they are recruited with the aim to commit violence. And that is, of course, very worrying. We did see in our investigations youngsters that were offered up to 20,000 euros to kill other people. And of course, if you have vulnerable young people, you can motivate to do that. They gain a lot of money and they will be attracted to that. How do they recruit the young people? It takes place via social media, it takes place via messaging apps, and also in that area, the criminals, they abuse the legal encryption methods, or they use encrypted communication devices that have been developed by criminals for criminals.
So the key trends in the main crime areas which pose the biggest threats to the EU, as outlined in Europol's threat assessment, are cyber attacks, online fraud, online child sexual exploitation, migrant smuggling, drug trafficking, firearms trafficking, and the illicit trafficking of waste. They are intertwined with the changing DNA of crime. These main trends observed by Europol form part of the bigger picture at EU level. To find out what the threat assessment means and how it will inform EU policy over the coming years, I asked a few questions to Magnus Brunner, the EU Commissioner responsible for internal affairs and migration in the second von der Leyen Commission. The European Commission has just unveiled its new European internal security strategy called Protect EU. The strategy will support member states and bolster the EU's ability to guarantee security for its citizens. It was informed by Europol's Serious and Organised Crime Threat Assessment 2025. Commissioner, you're in charge of EU policy on internal affairs and migration at the European Commission. How do you see the criminal landscape in the EU today?
Well, security threats are becoming more and more complex, and also lines between different types of threats become increasingly blurred, be it criminal networks, be it terrorists, violent extremists, and hostile state and non-state actors operate internationally online and offline. And they take advantage of our free society and our free movement across borders, and they exploit the most vulnerable people. So this evolving and increasingly complex security situation requires a clear and also a strong response to ensure the security of our citizens and of course, also our democracy.
What makes Europol's threat assessment so important at the EU level?
The threat assessment is very important to us because it clearly shows how dynamic the threat landscape has become. The report came at exactly the right time, 2 weeks before I presented the Protect EU strategy. And so we, of course, used the results for the strategy. And it is an excellent foundation also for the priority crime areas to be tackled. It provides the evidence base we need to make informed decisions on new security measures and to fight serious and organized crime. It is especially valuable because it is forward-looking. After all, we need policies and tools to catch tomorrow's criminals.
So how can we catch tomorrow's criminals? And what is actually happening today to improve our internal security? Could you tell us about some concrete actions being taken by the EU?
We need the whole of society to be aware. Security is the business of government, yes, but we all have a part to play. This ranges from standing up for what is right when witnessing a crime, to thinking twice before sharing or even believing something you read online. We, the European Commission, are determined to do our job to protect the European Union from threats, including by putting more EU resources into supporting law enforcement.
To find out more about how Europol came up with this assessment and what the implications are on real operations, I spoke with Jean-Philippe Lecouf, Europol's Deputy Executive Director of Operations. How does Europol get the threat assessment findings?
Well, the SOCTA, the Serious Organized Crime Threat Assessment 2025 this year, is really a masterpiece of what we can do in Europol. It's mainly based, in fact, in a very important work of collecting data. We have, in fact, two ways of collecting data. The first way is with our analyst to get the data out of the cases that we are supporting for the member states or our operational partners. And the second way is by sending questionnaire, and we have sent around 3,000 questionnaire to different member states, law enforcement agencies, academia, other organizations in the EU, outside the EU. So the report that you see is really the top of a kind of a pyramid of knowledge that we have accumulated in Europol.
How does the threat assessment fit into Europol's work?
Well, this threat assessment is important for Europol to tailor our strategies, to see where we should put our resources, where we need to improve, where the crime is going, in fact, and where, in what direction organized crime, cybercrime, or terrorism tries to evolve. And we try to see that, to anticipate, to see the early warnings on this, and then we can frame our own strategy. But also we provide this report for the policymakers at national level, but also at EU level. Organized crime by itself is destabilizing the society. But what we have seen in the last few years, especially since the beginning of the war of aggression of Russia against Ukraine, is that some state actors are using criminals to concur to their objectives in destabilizing Europe, in destabilizing our societies.
So we have heard earlier from Europol's executive director and the EU commissioner about how the DNA of crime is changing and which areas are the ones to watch. But how does Europol work with EU member states to fight crime?
Europol's task, given by the regulation, is to support the member states, the law enforcement agencies in the member states, in fighting organized crime and preventing organized crime, cybercrime, and terrorism. So how do we do that, in fact? We work with all the law enforcement agencies in the EU. We provide them with support. The core of the business of Europol from the beginning, 25 years ago, it was built on analysis capacity, and it remains one of the key pillars of the support that we are providing to the member states. That is to say that they send us their information. We are able to make the links between information, to make cross-check, and then from this cross-check, we can enrich the data that the member states are sending to us. Sometimes it's really the little, push that we can put to an investigation to make it wider, to make it bigger. Last year in 2024, we did that 3,324 times. That is to say that we have supported 3,324 investigations of this big and complex investigation in the member states. Just to another figure, 10 years ago, it was around 800 investigations. This increase from 800 to 3,324 is really for us the sign of the success story that Europol is.
Europol doesn't just work within the EU. How does Europol fight serious and organized crime across the world?
Today, it's more than 300 of these liaison officers coming from 54 countries. That is to say, we have the 27 member states with their liaison bureaus that are here to work with us, which is quite natural because we are a EU body. But also, we are more than 20 of these other partners with which we have different type of agreements to exchange strategic data or to exchange personal data in order to develop the investigations. Crime is becoming global. So I would say that in one sentence, where our investigation goes, we go. So if we support an investigation on a criminal network importing cocaine from South America, then we need to work with countries in South America. We need to work also with countries, for example, in West Africa, or to work with great partners like the UK, the US. Anybody that wants to fight crimes with us, they are welcome at Europol.
The future of the European security is in our hands. The threats we face are evolving, but we are also. We have to collaborate, innovate, and we have to take decisive action, and we can turn the tide. It's a fight for the rule of law. It's a fight for our communities, for our businesses, and for the future of our children. And we will not let organized crime dictate the rules of this game.
Destabilizing, nurtured online, and accelerated by AI. That's the DNA and the future of serious and organized crime. So stay tuned for the upcoming episodes where we will dig deeper into crime's DNA by shining a light on the biggest cases and trends in each area to see why and how crime is evolving this way. Our next episode will be about the double destabilization of crime's new DNA. We will put this effect under the microscope, exploring cases Europol has worked on, as told by law enforcement experts. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Europol podcast. Please subscribe and give us a rating on whatever platform you're using to listen. And if you enjoyed the show, maybe consider sharing the podcast on your social media. If you want to hear more about our work making Europe safer, you can always check out our website. That's europol.europa.eu. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon.